You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Before we jump into the marketplace and look at the numbers and maybe even look at the dollar sum, could you spend a little bit of time telling us on a typical year what the seasonal pattern is between now, in other words, after all the major reports have come out, and the planning intentions report? What's typical? And then secondly, would you anticipate this year would be like that or something different?
Well, seasonally, if you would take the past 20 years or past 25 years or whatever you want to use and stack an individual futures contract on top of one another, you basically, you know, make your lows. Soybeans is fairly dominant. You make a low in October. First 10 days of October is pretty a reliable type harvest low. Then you gradually move higher into the May-June time frame. Beans do have a tendency to make highs in May, probably more often than corn does. But June is a big month for seasonal highs in both corn and beans. Usually beans don't extend beyond June. Corn does have a tendency once in a while to maybe extend on into July. You kind of get that May, June, July is where you make your highs, and then you kind of make your lows kind of September, October, November. And, you know, last year we went totally counter-seasonal. The January crop report sent us into a counter-seasonal decline, and we basically drifted into a June low when we normally make season highs. And then we rallied out of the June low and into a November high when we normally make fall lows. Now, the way I look at a normal seasonal pattern, it's not uncommon to kind of have a period of weakness in the market. After you come out of an October low, you maybe have a pause sometime in December a little bit. This year we had a pause in November on beans. It's not uncommon to have a little pause in late January, early February, and then you rally. It looks like maybe our pause came a week or two early this year. It came during the first week of January. And now basically the seasonal in beans now looks to me like it's up into first part of March. Once you get into March, then you could begin to get into South American seasonal pressures, early planting expectations and whatnot, and you could maybe have a dip into April. But overall, the trend is fairly solid as you go on into May, June. Corn is very similar. It usually pulls out of an October or December low, depending upon whether or not we have an early harvest or late harvest. And then corn basically strengthens. We do have a little pause in late January, early February sometimes. That I don't think is as seasonal anymore as it used to be. But then it rallies, you know, on into March, and then a lot of times you'll get a little pause in late March, early April, depending upon how the weather comes into play, but then it continues to strengthen as we go on into June.
And will this cycle be like that? Because we are at lofty levels already.
I am in that camp. I think the October crop report shocked wave the counter-seasonal decline of 2010 into more of a seasonal pattern for 2011. So that is what I'm basically telling farmers when I visit with them is, keep an eye on a 20 or 25-year seasonal pattern, plot that right against December corn futures or November soybeans, and just as long as the market is following that pattern, you've got time and patience to market your grain. If and when it maybe begins to alter out of that pattern, well, then you may have to take some moves to counter that.
All right, let's look at the trade today. I don't want to get excited about one day, but I did note the U.S. dollar broke to the downside under its short-term trend line drawn through the lows of the last couple of months.
Yeah, for the most part, the dollar has kind of turned sideways. We had a nice rally out of the early June low into the late November high of 81.44. And basically since then, we've kind of been in a three-point range between 81.5 roughly and 79. And that's kind of where we're at. We've kind of turned the market sideways here. And we'll see whether or not it breaks underneath the lows that we've had recently here or if it turns around and breaks to the upside. But it's basically turned into more of a sideways-type pattern. And I think longer term, if you look at the monthly chart, you can read more of a sideways pattern in that. I do see different formations in it. But basically, since 2004, we've kind of been in a broad base sideways pattern from a low of 70 back in 2008 to a high of roughly 90. And here we are. We're kind of in the middle of that range right now, and I kind of think that we may stay there for a while.
Hmm. We'll turn our attention to the trade in the grains, where we finished off the highs today, but we had new highs.
Yes. Corn, of course, managed to do probably a little better on the upside than beans did. With a little stronger close, but we still have index fund rebalancing going on, and that was more of a major factor here in the soybean market today than probably corn. That was one of the reasons why the soybeans did sell off of their highs a little bit.
How much longer that rebalancing should it be done this week? I think I read somewhere maybe this week.
Well, I don't know for sure, but there are so many funds out there that there's probably somebody always wanting to rebalance something. But, yeah, one would guess that we should be beginning to wrap up that rebalancing, at least for this quarter, and then we'll kind of take a look at it. But, I mean, it kind of says how bullish corn and soybeans have been when the funds have to liquidate their position. They've made so much money being long corn and soybeans that they've had to reduce that position to keep it from being much larger than what their normal balance is. So that tells you how strong a bull that we have in ag commodities.
All right, then. Let's look at the particulars in the March charts. And let me ask you, first stop up from where we are and how we get there. How do you measure it?
Well, every technician has their own tools and their own system. Mm-hmm. I use several. I try to keep the market somewhat simple and just view a market as climbing a stair steps. We go one step at a time. I think we've just finished our last step when we started from mid-November at 520 on this March. We went up to 634 there in early January, first day of January, and then we fell back to 95. And now we've started back up again. So I think this is the new step up. We're in new highs. And I always take the distance of the first step as a starting point for the step for the next step. And if we would do an equal step, roughly we're talking about $7 March corn futures. And that is just basically what I'm saying is an upside. And then what I do is I apply a lot of my Fibonacci percentage ratios or ratio percentages to that step. And if we go only 38% of the way, is 650, and today we did see 650, so that was the initial resistance. I think the next resistance point is going to be somewhere around 660, and then maybe we have 672. Clearing 672, I think, then begins to really open the gates that we are going to go on up and try to visit something above the $7 area.
We have about 40 seconds left. Last thoughts before we let you go?
Only thoughts I have is I guess I'm totally amazed at the people that want to sell into this thing. A lot of these people call themselves risk managers. I'm about to the point to call them risk creators. I've never had so many phone calls in the last couple weeks here about people having sold corn at 450, the 2011 crop already because they got themselves into a contract that doubles them up or triples them up if prices reach these levels. So you got to be careful on what kind of risk manager you're talking to. You could be talking to a risk creator.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and he is in Decatur, Illinois.